In today's Mishnah, we're on the second and third Mishnah from the fourth Perek of Masechta Ediot. And in yesterday's Mishnah, in the second Mishnah, we returned to Masechta Beitza, where we saw the debate between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel regarding an egg that was laid on Yontov, whether it's Mutar or Asur. In today's Mishnah, we continue literally from the Mishnah that followed that, also in Masechta Beitza, and that begins as follows. Behemesh Nolda B'Yontov. If an animal was born on Yontov, we say HaKol Modim Shei Moteret. Everyone agreed. Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel says you'd be able to slaughter that animal that was just born and it would be completely permitted. It wouldn't be an issue with consuming it. That is because, once again, very importantly, the mother was already set aside of an animal that was designated to be consumed. Therefore, one could have, on Yontov, shechted the mother, and even prior to the animal being born, if they slaughtered the mother, would have been able to eat the child, as we've this referred to Ben Pakua, even without Shechita. So therefore, that there's no issue of Muktzah whatsoever. And that is why, if the animal is then eventually born on Yontov itself, there's no problem, it's complete mutar, even Beit Hillel would agree. However, the complementary case to this is, v'ha'efroach sheyatza min ha'beitza, if however chick was hatched on Yontov, then we say, ha'kol modim she'asur, everyone agree that it's forbidden. That is because prior to its hatching, the egg, you cannot consume it, it's asur to eat it. And therefore, unlike the previous case where the agav imo, the young calf, for example, was already permitted by way of the fact that the mother was permitted, here you don't have that option, and therefore it would be considered asur. Basically, it would be mukta because it wouldn't be considered prepared ahead of time to be consumed on Yontov, because it couldn't have been eaten on Yontov prior to the hatching. Next case, hashochet chayava of biyontov. Importantly here, in this case, we deal with the law of kisui hadam, and that is if someone slaughters a chaya. Chaya is like an undomesticated wild animal as opposed to a behema, which is like a cow or a sheep. So here, for example, a deer, someone slaughtered a deer or an off, like a chicken, they would have to perform what's called kisui hadam, meaning the blood that came out as a result of the slaughter has to be covered over with earth or soil. The debate initially is, can someone slaughter one of these types of animals, a chicken or a deer, on Yontov if they don't have any soil available to kisui hadam, because you cannot dig on Yontov, it's effectively a malacha. So Beit Shammai says, Yachbor bedekam veyichaser. According to Beit Shammai says, if there's already a mattock that's already inserted in the ground, such that as soon as you pull it out of the ground, it would bring soil with it, in other words, the soil itself is already broken up, then it wouldn't be a problem. You could shech this animal, pull it out of the ground, and use that soil to do kisui hadam. However, Beit Hillel says, absolutely not, you cannot do that. Elim ken hayat lo afar muchan, unless he had already set aside soil for the purpose of kisui hadam. However, modim, they both agree, she'im shachat, that if the animal was already slaughtered, then Beit Hillel says that bidyeved, meaning already after the fact now, then he would agree, yachbor bedeker v'yichaser, that if there was this mattock that was inserted in the ground, he could just pull it out from the ground and bring the soil with it to do the kisui hadam. The final case in this Mishnah is also that both agree she'efer kira muchanu, that the efer, the ashes, they're in the oven. This is referring to ash that was there already prior to Yontov, that they're not considered muktzah because we say min hastam. In general, people would have already earmarked this ash to be used on Yontov itself, therefore it's not muktzah and it can be used for kisui hadam. Importantly, however, by contrast, any ashes that were generated on Yontov as a result of burning, unless those ashes were still usable, in other words, it was still hot enough that you could roast an egg, in other words, if they're already cooled down, then one would not be able to do so, because this is ashes that weren't really available prior to Yontov, and there would be an issue of nola v'mukta. Let's now learn Mishneh Gimel. Beit Shammai Omrim Hefker L'Aniyim Hefker. Whereas Beit Hillel says, Eino Hefker Ad Shivkar Afle Eshirim. This is another mission we've also learned in previously, back in Masechta Peah. The debate is whether if someone says, I'm relinquishing ownership, but only for poor people to take it, does it have the status of hefker, ownless property? Now, why is that important? That is because hefker, ownless property, is exempt from the separation of trumot uma asrot, meaning all the various gifts that one has to separate from the produce that they take in. According to Beit Shammai says, even if someone makes a hefker just to poor people, that would be considered hefker and exempt from Hafresh Trumas Amasrot. And he learns that from Leket and Peah. Because just as Leket and Peah, the gifts, Leket is the individual sheaves that fall during harvest, Peah is a corner of the field that has to be left for poor people. If you remember, we learned this a number of years ago now. The Torah says, Lani v'lagelet tozovatam, that they are exempt from Trumas Amasrot, and it's specifically those items that are left just for the poor. However, Beit Hillel says, no, Eino Hefker Yuvkar Afli Shirim, meaning it's only considered Hefker if you made it Hefker, meaning ownless to anyone to take. And he compares that to Shemitah, just like Shemitah. Because in Shemitah, Shemitah produce in the seventh year of the Shemitah cycle, is considered also exempt from Trumas HaMasrot, but it's that, specifically in that year, it's Hefker to absolutely everyone. Anyone can take the produce. Next, Kol Omrei HaSadeh Shel Kav Kav. if all the bundles during harvest are each the size of a kav, and there was one that was shel arba kamin, and one bundle happened to be four times the size of the others, ushechacho, and the Baal HaBayit forgot that large one, then Beit Shammai says, Einu shichacha, it wouldn't constitute the law of shichacha. If you remember, if someone left a single bundle behind, then that is another one of the gifts of the poor. He's not allowed, and he forgot about it. He's not allowed to go back and retrieve it. It has to be left for the poor to take. Importantly, according to Beit Shammai, if someone left a collection of four behind and forgot them, that wouldn't be considered shichacha. So in this situation, he says that since we've got one of these bundles that is four times the size of all the other bundles that were put together in the field, we can view it as if they are four distinct small bundles, even though it's really one, and therefore it's not considered shichacha. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, Beit Hillel says it is considered shichacha, you've left one behind, despite the fact it's very big, it doesn't matter, it's just a bigger single bundle, and he doesn't view it as if we can, because it's bigger, he doesn't divide it up virtually and say, oh, it's like there are four bundles. Those are the Mishnah today.